T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Morning show on Sports Radio 92. The game from the Kia Studios on this Tuesday. A lot of headlines. Braves got their first win of the year, winning big in their home opener, 8-0 over the defensively challenged Chicago Cubs last night. Those two will not play today. There's no game today. The Braves will play tomorrow in game two. So there's no game today and game tomorrow, in game, which is kind of, you know, I wish they were playing today. You could kind of go right on the heels of that and have all that kind of good momentum, but, you know, baseball does off. This now.
Give them a day off. Let the bullpen get some rest. Let the guys get some rest. I don't have a problem with that. And plus, it's the ESPN game tomorrow night anyway.
All right, the Wednesday night game.
Yeah, the Wednesday night game is going to be an ESPN game, so that's going to be pretty exciting to have ESPN out there at the battery. You know what people are doing? I have some friends of mine that what they do, and this is pretty cool. Instead of buying tickets to the game, you get a hotel room.
Okay.
And you watch the game from your balcony.
You mean that Omni thing? Do you know what those rooms cost?
No.
I'm not saying, hey, I know what they are. I'm just curious. I have no clue.
I don't know, but I would be curious to see how much a room would cost on game day. And I wonder, do they bump the price up on game day?
Oh, I'm sure
day?
They do. Yeah,
because, man, it was pretty – like, I saw some of the pictures. Like, they have the little Atlanta Braves glass. You can sit in there, and I'm pretty sure you can have, like, a grand old time just sitting in the hotel, like, in your room, watching it from the convenience of your hotel, sitting in your robe and just chill out and watch the game and you know, drink a couple of adult beverages and just relax.
No, I think it'd be pretty cool.
Yeah.
I mean, but it's
– I think I'm going to do that. I think I'm going to try to plan on doing
pretty
that.
Pricey, you know.
Well, I would assume that if you get – you could probably get good pricing a couple weeks out maybe. I think that would be pretty cool. That would be pretty cool to do.
Wait, you say $249 a night for a ballpark view?
And that's not bad.
But then you have to buy tickets to the game, too.
You don't – in the hotel?
I think so, yeah.
Come on, man. To look at – you got – wait, hold up. You can't charge me for looking out the window.
All right. So say that again, Daryl. It's $649?
Hold up.
$649 for the luxury view. I thought you might have to buy – you know, actually buy – you know, you can't just invite the world up there.
No, I wouldn't. It would be me and probably somebody else. And we watch the game, but, you know, I'm not trying to have a party. I'm just, you know, trying to do something different. Watch the game in the hotel room and, you know, maybe partake in some adult beverages. Don't have to worry about driving home.
Another top of the hour headline tonight. The Hawks take on the Spurs in San Antonio tonight. Part of their final 5 games of the regular season. Dallas won last night. So that's some good news for the Hawks, who are 3 games ahead behind the Dallas Mavericks, however you look at it, with 5 games to go. Pregame at 8. And Steve Holman on the call, 8:30 tip in San Antonio, the Hawks and the Spurs. Now, we get ready for the Final Four, and as we do, there's a subject that has popped up here in college basketball that has a lot of people talking, actually two. One is that Kentucky has made Coach Cal the highest-paid coach in college basketball history. We don't know the exact figure, but it's got to be north of $10 million a year, all right? And we don't know the exact length because it is a lifetime contract. UCLA offered Coach Cal, he was allowed to speak to UCLA, an $8 million a year for 6 years. And Kentucky came back and said, what if we just gave you, you know, north of 10, or they didn't
forever,
say that.
Forever.
And then forever and ever, you know, you're 60 years old, you want to coach forever, you have a lifetime deal.
That's a beautiful thing for Coach K, man, for Coach Calipari, man. I'm telling you, that to have that kind of deal and be thought of in that way, why would you ever want to coach in the pros? I mean, seriously, like you are the king of one and dones. And no matter how much people hate you for that, for whatever reason, you have found the formula to get young men to buy into what you're selling for 1 year. And you put out a pretty good squad every year.
Well,
you put out a dynamic squad every year.
He's been there for 10 years. He has 305 wins. Now, maybe my math isn't great, but that's 30.5 wins per year. So 30 wins a year for 10 years. He's made 4 trips to the Final Four. He's had 23 top 10 recruits. He's had 19 lottery picks. And He has 31 tournament wins. Now, some Kentucky fans are a little upset about the other number I'm going to say. He's got one national title.
Yeah, that's it. And you know, it's starting to look like now that the formula for the one and done does not necessarily work if you want to go deep in the tournament play. Doesn't seem like that's working. But for him to be able to amass a team the way that he does and they make the noise that they make in the tournament, that's pretty impressive. Now, granted, the end all to be all is you got to win a tournament. You got to win a championship. You got to win a championship. And I'm pretty sure with this lifetime contract, now that pressure is going to be even ramped up even more for him to get it done.
Well, this is set now, again, $10 million a year or north of $10 million, which is what people are kind of – there's no set figure. They haven't said anything yet as to what the exact figure is. But since it's Kentucky and it's a public university, they're going to have to release the information at some point. But it's apparently because he was already the highest paid coach in the country last year at $9.2 million. You presume that he got a raise. So we're looking at around or north of $10 million a year for life for John Calipari at Kentucky. So that's how much coaches are making. We all understand that. I mean, that's based upon, of course, your salary and your other things like your shoe deal. Now, these players don't sniff any of that. There's been a lot of talk about the fact that these players don't get any money in college athletics, right? And there have been a lot of things thrown out there about how to handle this. Well, finally, it seems that Congress is going to get involved, and there's a bipartisan bill put forth by a Republican from North Carolina and a Democrat from Louisiana, okay? And it has support on both sides of Congress. It's called the Student Athlete Equity Act, and it's going to come to the floor of Congress soon. It's going to allow student athletes to allow colleges to profit from the use of their names, Hugh. They'll be able to make money from the use of their names, their images, and their likenesses via commercial opportunities ranging from advertisements to video games.
That's pretty impressive. That is pretty impressive. But my question would be this, John. And you know, there's been a lot of talk about actually paying athletes. But number one, how much money are we talking about initially? And number two, every athlete is not going to benefit from this. Because I was talking to Daryl about this in the bullpen. And I was like, think about it like this, man. I went to a small school. Now it's a Division II, NCAA Division II school. Mm-hmm. I'm not going to get as much money as Daryl is going to get for playing sports at Georgia Tech. Because it's not we're not that visible. So where do you make it even for all college athletes that are
participating? Oh, it's not going to be even at all.
That's what I'm saying. I mean, I know it's not, but there has to be, I would think, a minimum for all college students.
I mean, yeah. Because it's not the same now. I mean, we have non-scholarship.
Yeah, but that's what I'm saying. But that's what I'm saying. This rule is going to benefit the bigger schools.
Of course it is.
Yeah. And what about the small guy? What about the little guy?
Well, and that's, I don't know what to tell you.
Yeah, basically, that would be my concern. Cause like,
what about the small school coach who makes $75,000 a year versus $10 million for Calipari?
I'm
don't know
with
what to
that.
Tell
but if you're making a NCAA rule, then all NCAA schools should benefit from it.
That's a great thing. It isn't an NCAA rule. See, this is why I think this will work. The NCAA is being told what it must do.
Mm-hmm.
It's being told that it will, and the NCAA can step back and go, hey, we didn't make this. Congress told us we had to do it. Because the NCAA is beholden to Congress as a governmental, you know, because they get governmental money, right?
Yeah.
And so they're beholden to Congress. And if Congress tells us we have to live by these rules, we have no choice. So the NCAA walks back, holds its hands up, says, not our business.
Yeah, but again, with that being said, John, then other schools suffer. Say, like, for instance, let's take it up in the Mercer. The Mercer suffer. Because now everybody's going to be trying to go, just say, to UGA or something like that because they know they're going to be in a position to make more money.
Well, of course that's true.
So I think that in order for this to be successful and be and nobody to suffer, there has to be a minimum of a stipend for athletes at every NCAA school.
Yeah, and then that's not what they're talking about here. They're talking about the likenesses. You're going to profit from your name, your image, or your likeness, and opportunities ranging from advertisements to video games. I don't know that many Mercer, you know, I mean, maybe a Mercer will be in the video game. I don't know, and your likeness would be used. But in some kind of, remember the whole college football, EA Sports?
Yeah, and they were using
it.
Yeah.
And they were using
it. No, I get that. I get all of that. But I would say as a college student, a college athlete, that I would cry foul because that's not fair because you're paying these guys for participating in NCAA tournaments and NCAA program and NCAA games and everything, and they're getting paid. I'm doing the same thing. Now, granted, I'm not on the same level as their own, but I'm still going to an NCAA institution. So I need to get mine as well. I think that's going to be the problem.
I don't know that. I mean, I just don't think. Well, maybe it's a problem, but I don't know how you stop it. There's no way to regulate it.
I think the best, like I said, I think the best thing to do is initially give, say, the kids at all NCAA institutions a stipend of $500 every 2 weeks or whatever.
I mean, you get your scholarship, and don't you already get a stipend or no?
I didn't. Okay. I didn't when I was in school. I don't know how it is now, but I didn't when I was in school.
Well, you know, what they're saying is, and I understand what they're saying here, is that this frees the universities from having the burden we've been discussing for a long time, you know, whether or not these athletes should be paid. And I want to say kids, right? Kids are adults. Whether they ought to be paid. Now the universities don't have to pay them. The universities could just do what they're doing, which is to give them full room, board, you know, and scholarship money, you know, and then that's good and that's fair. I mean, you everybody gets that, you know. And then on top of that, if an athlete can get a shoe deal, you know, now how that works out with an individual university being a Nike school and you want to go out and get Under Armour shoes, I don't know how that'll work out. I guess I'll have to figure it out. But if here in town, gigantic car dealer A, okay, decides you that he wants to give Georgia recruit, you know, top five recruit, you know, $100,000 a year and a car to endorse his, you know, auto dealership, okay.
Yeah, but again, if it's an NCAA rule or if they're going to do this, I think they have to make it fair for everybody. I get that.
I don't know how you do that.
I get what you're saying, John, because the big dog got to eat.
Right.
The big dog got to eat, but I think that
we're treating them like you do pro athletes because it's not fair that Mike Trout makes $430 million. I don't even know what Ronald Acuña makes.
And not only that, there was some talk about when the tournament started. I don't think they did it because I didn't see anything that was different, but there was some talk of a Zion cam where they were going to have one camera that was focused on Zion, and then I think they put the kibosh on
it. Of course, because, I mean, how does he not profit from that?
Yeah, and he wasn't going to profit from that. But what I'm saying is this. Like, say Ja Morant. He's considered a high draft pick, but from the school that he's coming from, he's probably going to be, I'll just say he's the number two pick overall. He's not going to get the opportunity to make as much money as Zion because Zion went to Duke, but they're still on the same level as far as athleticism. That's the issue, even at the D1 level. So I think that if you're going to do this, there has to be a way that initially is regulated so that everybody gets a little piece of something. And then anything that you get after that is on you. You see what I'm saying? Say like,
yeah,
again.
I don't know.
You don't know how they're going to be able to do that.
I have no idea how you would do that. I think the NCAA is going to wash its hands and walk away.
Yeah, but that's the little guy's going to suffer. Smaller schools are going to suffer.
Well, already do that? I mean, look at what Alabama has in terms of amenities and what they have in terms of, you know, everything else that you could possibly. You say under this new proposal that the big boosters at certain schools are going to step in and sign recruits to big deals? Yeah, they are.
Yeah.
Of course they are.
It's going to be easier.
What, they're going to get the better players? They already get the better players.
Yeah, and you know who's going to suffer? It's the small – it's like the HBCUs, the smaller schools, the D2 schools, because everybody's going to try. Even if you go to the school and sit on the end of the bench, you're still doing better than you would do at a smaller school. If you go to Duke – say if I went to Duke and I never touched the field, I'm going to still benefit from being at Duke. And that's where the smaller schools are going to suffer. And then you're not going to have the stories of like the Tariq Cohens and smaller school guys like that have went to the small schools and have thrived and become professionals because they're going to be stuck at these institutions because they want to be taken care of.
Well, see, I got to tell you, I'm very much in favor of this. And the reason I'm very much in favor of it is it's high time we started, and this is the next step in taking care and treating these student athletes like every other student on campus. Like, I am very much in favor of every student athlete being able to transfer to another school without having to sit out a year. Wherever he wants to go. If a Georgia player wants to transfer to Florida tomorrow, he could transfer to Florida tomorrow like every other student on campus. We have to start treating them like normal students. And that goes to if you have a – let's say that you have a music department, okay? And in that music department at Juilliard, All the students are making gazillions of dollars playing for major orchestras around the country, and they're getting sponsored trips and everything else.
Mm-hmm.
That's not fair to the music department at the University of Oglethorpe, is it?
Mm-mm. Well, it's not.
Well, that's what kind of how I figure.
Yeah.
And that's and, going
and
on now.
And you're right. And you're right. But I think the way that you fix this, John, is that at minimum, every NCAA school, kids get at least, I'm just going to say $500 every 2 weeks.
If they want to do that, that's fine. I'm just saying that I think you're missing my point. I think what's going to happen is I think you're going to have, I can see where you're going to have recruits get $1 million a year. $1 million a year.
No, I got your point. But what I'm saying is this, in order, because no matter what, John, no matter what, there are going to be student athletes that make more money than any other student athletes. That's just the nature of the beast. Zion's going to make more money than anybody else. That's just a fact. But what I'm saying is this. Even though Zion's making that, I should get a little something. Like say Zion gets his $500 stipend for being at an NCAA institution, and anything he makes after that, that's on him. But at the same time, as a student athlete, I'm getting my $500.
I don't have a problem with that.
Yeah, that's what I'm talking about.
I wasn't aware that there wasn't a stipend. I'm not.
But let's put it like this. We have neither one of us been in college in about 30 years, so I don't know if it's like that now. But I would say a stipend for each student.
Okay, that's fine.
Student athlete.
When it comes to, here's the thing you need to brace for. I think this is going to pass. And when it does, you're going to have these gigantic boosters. And I want to know how you feel at 404-741-0929. Do you think this is going to fundamentally change the game? I'm going to guarantee you there will be $1 million high school basketball recruit right off the jump. And I'll give you one place. That's my old school that might do it. I'm not saying he would, but he's got the cash too, so what the hell? This is going to be really interesting. We are about to enter the Wild West of college athletes if this passes Congress. And I'll tell you that next as we continue with John and Hugh on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Now back with more John and Hugh.
Oh, yeah. Oh, definitely a fan. How can you not be a fan?
On Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Morning show with John and Hugh on this Tuesday, headed to the Final Four, which will be live on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game on Saturday. Our coverage begins at 4:30, Virginia and Auburn with a tip at 6:09, followed by Texas Tech and Michigan State. The Final Four is live on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
How about I just found out they give out stipends in college now? Like, they say up to like, $5,000 to $7,000? $5,000 to $7,000?
Yeah, they say they've been doing that
for the last 4 years.
I thought I read that somewhere.
That's what I'm saying. Do you know how hard?
So that's like $400 or $500 a month.
Dude, do you know how much that would have saved me, like to wash clothes and just to like to have stuff? I'm mad. You know how much of a struggle it was just to wash clothes every Sunday?
Wait, did you get a scholarship?
Yeah, that's it.
I had to work 3 jobs. Don't cry to me.
John, I had to work three jobs to
put my butt through college.
John,
do not cry to me, Hugh Douglas.
John, if I had $500 in school, I would have been the man.
Yeah, if I had a scholarship, I would have been the man.
You know, with the free meals, the free room and board.
The free,
$500 in my pocket.
My parents had no money. I paid out of
man,
my own pocket.
Good googly moogly.
What are you talking about?
Yeah, I'm not complaining now.
I was starving on campus.
I ain't had no snacks.
I ain't had no snacks.
I ate ramen noodles.
Come on. You didn't know how to steal for the trader table?
No. Listen, John. You would swear, like, we used to make ramen noodles like we were on the sale block. We were in a pod.
People had scholarships. You know how you used to put the... I had to work at Taco Bell 2 nights a week.
Hey, John.
You ever work at Taco Bell?
No, I didn't.
Okay, see, that's what I'm saying. I'm going to tell you how they make their pinto beans, all right?
I can imagine. They put them in a big... It's like you got to put the salt
20 pounds of pinto beans, 5-pound block of lard, a pound of salt, and 10 gallons of water, lock the lid, and then just stir
it. You don't know what it is to make ramen noodle meals in a little hot pot?
Yes, I do, because I had to do that, because that's all I could afford to do after I got done with the Taco Bell.
Hey, college struggles. Yeah, I'm mad now.
So this bill, I got to tell you, it's called it's one of those dumb, stupid... Well, I mean, it's not a dumb, stupid name. It's just one of those very Congress names, the Student Athlete Equity Act, okay, by these Republican in North Carolina named Mark Walker and Cedric Richmond, a Democrat of Louisiana. It's got bipartisan support, and it sounds like it might pass, and it's going to let these athletes earn money, hire an agent, and earn money on their likeness, like in advertising and stuff. And if you don't think that a school isn't going to look at, we'll make up a name, Jay Johnson, the next Magic Johnson, number one high school basketball recruit in the nation.
And make it easy for him to go there.
And say, we will pay you $1 million a year that put your face on billboards around town, if you come to our school, you are sadly mistaken, because that's exactly what will happen.
I know it's going to happen. I know it's going to happen. But my thing was, and my thing is, you know, no matter what, the smaller schools are going to suffer because they're suffering already. But at least give them a little something. Throw them a bone. I mean, and that's how I'm kind of looking at it. Just throw them a bone. But it's been going on forever.
Yeah, it has been going on forever. I mean, I've related and I'll just make it as quick as I can. At CNN, I went and spent 10 days in the state of Texas digging into when SMU got banned. And my report was, and we go back, I'd probably dig it up, it aired on CNN, was because Texas football, what went wrong? One of the boosters that was banned for SMU was a Plano Bank executive, okay? And he told me on camera that he went into the Sugar Bowl. We had him blacked out, and we had to change his voice. And he went on camera and said that he took an unnamed athlete into the locker room after the Cotton Bowl against Pittsburgh and met Eric Dickerson and Craig James, Lance McElhenney, the quarterback, and sat him in the corner and said, "Son, I can give you $50,000 cash to come to SMU." And he looked at me and said, "I've got an offer of $100,000 from another school." And I won't name the school or the athlete on the air. But suffice to say, he became a superstar at the other school and eventually an NFL star. So he turned out $50,000 from SMU and $100,000 from the other school. And he's a big name. You'd certainly know who he is. But I don't blame him. That goes on all the time. Yeah. Now we're just taking it and putting it above board. And then here's where the NCAA can step in. The NCAA can step in and say, okay, you're going to get your scholarship and your stipend. Any money you make with your agent outside of this is your money to keep. If you take any other money, you're going to forfeit the right to be drafted for 3 years.
That's crazy.
And then that way, no kid is going to violate that. You will forfeit the right to be drafted in the NBA or NFL or any Major League Baseball for 3 years.
You know what I just thought about, John Frickey? With all of this stuff going on and they're thinking about passing this bill, you know what they could be getting ahead of?
What's that?
This whole NCAA basketball scandal thing.
Well, it's going to make it moot.
Yes, exactly. So that way, that football is going to be protected.
Yeah, basketball will be protected. They'll just say, well, okay, so what? Nike paid you guys. Nike can pay you guys all they want.
But that means all those other folks that have already been indicted, they're going to go to jail, though.
Well, it depends on what you were indicted for. If you're indicted, like the Becky Gate thing, if you tax fraud, you're going to jail.
Yeah, but you're talking about, like, the lawyer. He's not going to probably go to jail for the trying to
score Avenatti?
Nike. Yeah, Avenatti. He's probably not. Or the guy that from Adidas.
Well, he had tax issues out in California.
Okay, but the guy from Adidas. The one guy from Adidas, he might not go to jail.
I don't know. You're
right.
It's amazing
interesting.
But let's bring this above board. I mean, why don't we bring it above board?
It's just interesting. All of a sudden, it looks like this bill is going to be pushed through
right
on the heels of everything else that has been pushed to the back burner because of the NCAA tournament.
Hey, Nike and Adidas have some clout. Yeah. Alex and Canton, you're on with John and Hugh. Hey, Alex.
Hey, guys. How you doing this morning?
Good morning.
Good morning. Good morning. So, yeah, this is a touchy subject for sure. My idea is, you know, they're already basically getting a stipend of a scholarship to play there, and they're getting room and board for free. They're getting food for free, whereas the typical college student is taking out, you know, tens of thousands of student loans a year for, you know, to go to school there. And they're having to pay for their meals and their, you know, their dorms. So I think it's just a touchy subject. I understand what they're talking about and, you know, making the money off the names and stuff. But I think there's going to be some uproar with just regular college students.
Well, then those regular college students probably could spend 40 hours a week working for the university like the athletes do.
Yeah, or they can get they have scholarships for other stuff outside of athletics.
Yeah, of course they do. Mathematics, all sorts of stuff. So music, drama, you name it.
I mean, but I get that.
See, a drama student, Brooke Shields, actually, after she became a star and was in movies and commercials and modeling, went to drama school at what's the big drama school in New York?
Juilliard.
At Juilliard or something. I think about it. Maybe it was Princeton. She got a scholarship to go to like Princeton or someplace like that.
Mm-hmm.
On scholarship, she's already a multi millionaire off her own business, and she's still making money in all the residuals, and still allowed to model and everything else. She's allowed to earn money. Players at Princeton? Oh hell no.
This is one of those things, man, where it's don't hate the player, hate the game, because you know that's going to be the case, because there's a lot of students out there. that bust their butts. And they and like you said, John, they pay for their own school.
Yeah, I know.
They're going to resent these athletes.
I didn't resent the athletes that were on scholarship. I never
You probably didn't, but other kids did. And I mean, it's going to be one of those things.
Go out and get your own scholarship.
Don't hate the player, hate the game.
You know what I mean? I mean, and this is, to me, again, a big step towards treating these students, athletes, just like every other student, which they ought to be. And right now they're classified different than any other – forget about non-scholarship, any other scholarship student. If you're a mathematics scholar, if you're a mathematics scholar at Emory or Oglethorpe or Shorter or wherever, you are not prohibited – from making money in mathematics while you are a mathematics scholar. You can make, IBM could pay you $300,000 a year to work for them on the side. You're allowed to do that.
Yeah, this is going to be a touchy subject, John, because our girl Taylor Diaz is chiming in right now. She says, love to hear people complain about scholarship athletes who didn't even play sports. What about the people who got partial scholarships and still had to get loans like me?
Well,
that's the thing.
I didn't even get a partial scholarship.
Yeah, but you're talking about, like, it's going to be – it's probably going to be a little bit of a backlash. Because if you're talking about guys potentially for playing a sport, getting a scholarship and getting paid –
again, we're talking about treating them like every other student. If you have a – if you have a student on campus, and let's say that it's a – and I will just use a girl in this case. But let's say there's a girl on campus who is in your – she's under full scholarship in, I don't know, pick something, in drama.
Lacrosse, whatever.
Okay, no, non-sports, in drama.
Drama class, okay.
Okay, so she's on full scholarship for drama. And another girl, her twin sister's on full scholarship for lacrosse. The one in drama can do modeling and make $1 million a year while she's on scholarship. The lacrosse student is not allowed to. And that's a problem in my world.
Yeah, it is. It is. But again, you know, there's going to always be somebody who this is – they're going to fall by the wayside, and they're going to be the ones that are going to struggle. I can't fathom being in school on scholarship and potentially making $1 million for not even being in the pros and being focused enough to actually sit in a class.
Well, you know what? You got to stay academically eligible.
To get the money.
To get the money. And this may dissuade some guys from going early because they're getting big dollars.
That's a point.
Yeah,
that's something
and
that
so
they can
stay in school,
happen.
Right?
Yeah.
And the other part of this is I think there are a lot of good benefits from this. And again, I want these athletes, and it's high time in my world, Hugh, to start treating you as a former student athlete like every other student. There should be no reason to ban you from being able to transfer, to go wherever you want, to do whatever you want. Treat you like every – quit putting athletes, and especially, by the way, if I may, young black males in a lot of cases into a box and saying you can't do what everybody else can do.
I get it. But at the same time, I think the ceiling of $1 million is probably a little bit too high. I think it needs to be more, I would say comfortable – 10 grand, well, maybe 15.
I don't know
a year.
Can you put a cap on the free market?
No, you can't. You can't, and especially when you're talking about there are certain elite athletes that are going to get more money than others.
Right. And they just are,
and that's just how it is, because I can't
see. And it doesn't cost the university any money.
Yeah, cuz I can't see right now, since basketball is the hot topic,
right,
that Zion Williams.
How much would Zion Williams have made?
Oh yeah, if he was able to make money.
Oh yeah, cuz they would have
been making money.
He might not have gone to Duke because you would have had other teams, you know, Texas or everybody bidding on him. I mean, you would have had basically a bidding war for Zion Williams coming out of high school.
Yeah.
All right, Daniel, Jason, Scott, hang on. We'll get to your calls in a moment. I think this is going to pass, right? This Student Athlete Equity Act, which will allow them unfettered to make money off their name. And when it does, Katie, bar the door. Here come the big paid high school college athletes. And I say, about time. That's just my take. On Sports Radio 92.9 The Game and 92.9thegame.com.
It's John and Hugh.
Here's my vote.
On Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Morning show with John and Hugh on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. I know that I'm passionate about this subject. It's something I've been passionate about for my entire career over the last nearly 40 years. And that is, treating everybody, equally and fairly in terms of the opportunities. You know, I believe strongly, Hugh, in the equality of opportunity, not in the equality of outcome. The equality of outcome is up to you, but the equality of opportunity in this country. And I believe also strongly that in the course of that student athletes have been unfairly denied the right to be, an equality of opportunity that other students get. And so it's always bothered me. Yeah. Always has.
I would agree with that. It's different. But, you know, it's funny, John, the more we talk about this and people are chiming in, especially on my Twitter feed, and Ty said something that made a lot of sense to me, because if they don't regulate this, he basically saying that if he's a student athlete, he would want his dollar amount that he's getting to be a disclosed figure. He don't want anybody to know, because that would kind of make it awkward, you know, going to school and let everybody knowing that you've made a ton of money. Like, you know what I mean? That would be an awkward thing to be at school and say, for instance, Zion Williams is on Duke's campus and he, Cam Reddish, Zion makes $2 million for doing something. Cam Reddish makes $500,000. You know what I mean? And I know you should never count another man's money, but being in college and being at the same university and kind of like being on the same team and being on the same level, so to speak, that would probably be something that is a little bit divisive.
And that may well be. I'm sure it's divisive in other areas of life too. I mean, I'm not going to argue your point. Jason in Stockbridge is on with John and Hugh. Hey, Jason.
Hey guys. Good morning.
Good morning.
I wanted to agree with you guys' point, and I wrote a paper when I was in college, still in college, but I think what they should do is a tier system where D1 schools, scholarship athletes should get X amount of dollars and kind of go on down the line with Division II, Division III. They should just get a set amount. That way everybody's not left out. The swimmer isn't left out. The lacrosse player, they may not get the same amount, but they get...
Well, they do get the same amount now. I mean, you have to pay... any scholarship distribution has to be equitable in terms of, you know, the amount of money that you pay out. I mean, of course, there are non-scholarship sports, and there are partial scholarships in certain sports, and I get that. But that's not what they're... I guess, Jason, it's not what we're talking about now. The bill in front of Congress is the Student Athlete Equity Act, and it would allow our athletes to make money on the side from, like, if they brought back EA Sports video games.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
And jersey sales.
And jersey sales. And if somebody wanted to use you as a spokesman on a car commercial, that kind of stuff.
Oh, yeah, they should absolutely do that, I think.
Yeah, that's...
That's long overdue. I mean, we're not even talking about the amount of TV money that's coming in. There's money coming in all over the place. They got more than enough to break these kids off a little bit.
Yeah, and if somebody wants to do that, thanks, Jason, at Stockbridge, I'm all in favor of it.
Yeah, I think it's long overdue, John. But, again, my biggest issue would be the little guy. And I know a lot of people have chimed in. A lot of people have talked about, like, hey, this isn't going to be fair. This is going to be fair across the board. It isn't going to be. And I understand that. But still, you have to, I think, implement something that's going to protect the smaller universities and their programs. Because just like I said, you're going to start having...
Well, they'll still have scholarships. I mean, nothing
Yeah, they
change.
Are, but it's going to be hard to get kids to go there. Now, I know...
It's already hard to get kids to go there.
It's extremely hard. But even when you're going to get those outliers...
I don't think it changes
You know, it's funny, though, but even when you get those outliers every now and then that do decide to go to smaller schools, it's going to be hard for them to go, especially when you start talking about, hey, money. I can go to this school and get way more money than I can get to go to, like, an Alabama State or something like that.
Scott in Peachtree City. Hey, Scott, welcome to the show.
Thanks for taking the call, fellas. Happy second Monday.
Yep.
Hey, I just wanted to weigh in real quick. I agree with both you guys. And John, I'm with you. This is something I have had very strong feelings about for as long as I can remember. And I do want to say I was a scholarship student, not through athletics, but I had no spending money. You know, I had my dorm was paid for, my meal plan was paid for, but books aren't free.
Mm-mm.
Any social life I wanted, that was out of my pocket. And I had to get that somewhere. But, there was nobody telling me I wasn't allowed to work so many hours. And there was nobody telling me you're only allowed to make so much money. And that's my biggest problem with the NCAA is not only do they tell the student athletes you are only allowed to have a part-time job of, I think it's 15 hours a week, and they're not allowed to make more than $10 an hour. So they are just artificially deflating these kids' opportunity to earn money on multiple levels. And the example they always cite is, well, we can't allow these student athletes to leverage their status as an athlete to have an unfair advantage over the others. So if the two examples I'll cite really quickly are Greg Anthony. When he was a point guard at UNLV, he had a side hustle doing screen printing T-shirts. and the NCAA made him shut that business down. He was self-employed, so they couldn't prove how many hours a week he was working, mm-hmm. and they couldn't prove how much money he was making, but they said that the fact that he was an athlete gave him an unfair advantage in the marketplace over other students.
Right, exactly. And then, of course, there was a famous Ed O'Bannon story, too, where Ed O'Bannon, and I appreciate the call, Scott. We got to get some other people in here. Ed O'Bannon, Scott in Peachtree City, Ed O'Bannon suing EA Sports. I think this brings back the EA Sports college games because now they can pay these athletes for their likeness.
Yeah.
You know, and Ed O'Bannon sued and stopped it because he said, hey, you can't use my likeness. And the Supreme Court said, you're right.
You know, it's funny. And to me, this reminds me of Johnny Manziel when he was at Texas and how they were selling his jerseys and how they sold, I think he was the number one college selling jersey at one time. And he didn't get a lick of money.
You know,
off
there
of that.
There is one way to police this. Whatever money you make, you know, you're allowed, you know, a stipend in college, and whatever money you make in terms of your you know, side hustle here, so to speak, in college athletics is put into an escrow fund managed by the university, and you do not get that money till you're no longer at the university.
I don't know about letting the university manage that, but I see your point because that way that you can't actually touch the money, but I wouldn't trust nothing that the university's doing.
Daniel in Ackworth. Hey, Daniel, welcome to the show.
Good morning, gentlemen. First and foremost, I love the show. I love waking up knowing I got to go to work and I get to hear y'all.
Oh, thanks, Dan.
Most of my day.
Appreciate you.
But I do agree with both of you, gentlemen. And I'm also in college, and I actually just wrote a paper on this last semester. And my biggest question comes in with, how do you protect these college athletes on all tiers, on all levels, whether it's going to be mainstream media getting them for commercials and paying them money, or even small market commercials or companies trying to get them? How do you protect them for the rest of university from being targets? Because a lot of these universities are open campuses, and people are going to see these people not only on the campus but out in the community.
Yeah, but do we have that just in general? But do we have that? I'm just kind of curious. Do we have that in general life? I mean, I've heard this, and I appreciate the call, Danny. We got to go to break. I guess I'm missing it. I mean,
he's talking about being targets in the community,
right? For being like robbed,
and stuff. They're a target regardless.
Yeah, they're a target already.
Yeah,
I mean, athletes are, I see athletes walking around town all the time.
Yeah, they're targets regardless.
I mean, high paid, multimillionaires. I think what I'm saying, Daniel, is why should college life not emulate real life? I mean, it just is. I really appreciate the spirit of debate. We're going to follow this, but yeah, it sounds like this thing is going to pass. It's really wild. All right, next up, we're going to get back in because we got to talk a little bit about what happened last night at SunTrust Park. Braves, and get your thoughts, too, on the Solomon Brothers Diamond Text Line about what the Braves did to the Cubs in their home opener with John and Hugh on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game and 92.9thegame.com.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.